going to the hurry-up offense.
Manning back to throw. Zips one left. Odell's got it on the run. Breaks free across the 40. He's to the 30. Foot race 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 61 yards.
Stafford's got it. Back. Looks. Backing up. Looking for somewhere to go. Stafford's going to tuck it and run. Stafford at the 5. 3, 2, 1. End zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, Matthew took it home.
At the 25, puts his foot in the ground. 35, 40. Gets a block midfield. Cuts it back. 40, 30. Goodbye, Oakland. Tyreek Hill. 10, 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. 77-yard punt return for a touchdown.
Producer Ryan Bartlett behind the glass, Kansas City Chiefs fan. Wonder how that one made it into the highlight reel there. Hi and hello. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's All Day Breakfast. Go get you some any time of day, morning, noon, or night. Put it in your belly. Always a good decision. Studio 66 filled with football glitterati. Maurice Jones-Drew, Ike Taylor. We'll say proper hellos in just a minute there, but we start off with a couple of hurry-up questions, one of which is we just heard and looked at that Odell Beckham touchdown. Really, it's crazy that you can be that guy. You know, you drop a couple of passes in the first half, but that's a difference maker. You touch the ball one time, you break the game. That's basically what it came down to, was that Odell play. But it occurs to me that in a critical game, you run away and you're frustrated. You run away from the defense. You get in the end zone, and he immediately goes into his celebration. That seems crazy. How lucid must you be to know when's it occur to Odell? Because Maurice, you did some good end zone celebrations yourself. When does it occur to you? Ooh, I'm going to the house. Get ready for this dance. Like, when did Odell decide, ooh, I'm going to do the Michael Jackson dance?
As soon as he caught the ball and split the guys, he knew he was going to score. And, I mean, I knew it. So I knew he was like, oh, yeah, it's on. And that's why he started running faster as he got going. Like, oh, yeah, it's time to go do it. I mean, for me, when I would break long ones, I'd be like, oh, I can't wait to show you what I have for you. I've been practicing this for a couple weeks. It's time for to pull this one out.
So he's at like the 20 and he's thinking like, oh, get ready. I'm going to moonwalk.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, because you could tell as soon as he got in, he dropped the ball and then started dancing and then moonwalked.
He didn't skip a beat.
No, that's what happens. Like if you have it prepared, I mean, my wife is funny. She'd be like, we got to make sure these things are right, because when you do it on the field, it has to be bigger than when you practice in the mirror. You have to do it bigger, because sometimes if you do it small, it just doesn't look right. So we would do all these practices and stuff in the offseason. I'd make sure I was right.
Wait, you would – so, Maurice, you would vet your end zone celebration with your wife. Like, you'd get her, all right, check this one out. What do you think about this one?
One of my homeboys used to call me all the time. He was like the celebration creator. He'd be like, hey, I got a new dance for you. Check it out. I'd be like, let's go. Let's do
it. Could you get, let's say, Latavius Murray, or you're the voice of the radio voice of the Rams, who had some changes earlier this week. But let's say, could you tell Todd Gurley, hey, let's cook something up, and he would do it on the field?
I mean, I think if the right moment in time, probably so. But
that's
right
fun.
Now, it's not the moment's not right
for nobody.
Probably over. Not.
It's tough.
Ike, you got in the end zone. What did you have something playing? Maurice got in the end zone a lot, so of course it makes sense he would have something choreographed.
I was just glad I caught the ball. Getting in the end zone.
Did
was
you spike
bonus.
It?
Didn't spike it or nothing, man. I just walked back to the sideline because we had to get back on defense.
Yeah, that's the other issue.
So I need to save my little energy.
Yeah, when you score on defense, you got to get right back.
I got to get right back.
Yeah, but all the guys you were playing with had their – Larry Foote had his thing where he would jump up and stomp his foot.
I had that going on.
Oh, yeah, you would wave your hand.
Yeah, when I made
a
play,
right?
You can't see me. Mm-hmm. I had that going on. But other than that, man, I was just so chill because I did a lot off the field.
I see, yeah. I've heard about that.
Yeah, I had to keep everything –
I've heard about you off the field.
Keep everything intact.
All right. You know, speaking of seeing things and not seeing things, are we not looking clearly enough? I've been – you know, I skew towards the teams that, and it's not just aesthetically that I like the teams to play outside in the cold and snow and everything. I think it does yield a better playoff team if you're used to playing in the outdoors and the elements and everything else. So I sleep on dome teams perennially. But the Atlanta Falcons, it seems to me, they have some nice young defensive pieces in the secondary. Vic Beasley looks all right. The offense, when Julio Jones is right, they can run the ball. Are we sleeping on this team? Could they go to the Super Bowl, Maurice?
No, we're not sleeping on them.
Why? It's number two, right?
I'll tell you one. I saw the game, right? And I get it's a big market. It's L.A. It was nationally televised. It was one of the big games, and they played well. So everyone's like, oh, the Falcons are this, the Falcons are that. But They still struggled to run the ball in that game, right? Matt Ryan, before they went to that no-huddle offense, went three and out three or four different times against a team that at the end of the day were playing practice squad players in their secondary. And so I just don't believe in what they do. And defensively, you know, I think Vic Beasley, I want to say, had three sacks in that game. How many times is he going to have three sacks?
Well, I agree with that. But, Ike, the thing, if you look at the way the NFC's shaping up, I just look at Dallas as clearly going to be the number one seed. We talked last week, and you guys were spot
they
on.
They still have to get by Tampa. Well, that's what we forgot about.
Yeah, but Tampa, we'll talk about – oh, we have something good coming up later in the show for you, too. Premature celebration. We're going to evaluate whether or not teams are celebrating a little too early playing in January, and the Bucks will be one of them. They have Dallas – coming up. They have to go down to Dallas. They still have to play New Orleans again. I forget their other one. We'll take a look at that. I think Atlanta gets that division. I can kind of see them going into Dallas and giving that team a game.
Overrated. So I'm not going to sleep on them. And no disrespect to Matt Ice, but Matt Ice just don't – in the playoff time, he just don't do it for me.
You applied Maurice's rule there and said no disrespect.
You could just tell he locks on to Julio a lot. Mm-hmm. I want to see him really play without Julio a few times, just to see if he can go through all his regressions. Because he locks on to Julio, and even when Julio is in double coverage like that, that's a heck of a play. I mean, that's Gabriel. But Matty Ice, man, it is just too inconsistent, man. Bucky has a good way of saying things. Bucky Brooks, one of our coworkers. Are you a truck or a trailer? Meaning a truck, you pulling the team. A trailer, the team needs to pull you a little bit. I look at Matty, man, as being a trailer, man. Matty needs help. Like, it's only a few trucks in the league. Like, we want to put all these guys on the pedestal because they got all these stats. But ain't nobody win. The only people winning Super Bowls, the same people. Same people winning the Super Bowls. The same people. They just rotating years. So I just look at Matty, man, as being a trailer, man. I just can't see it. And that defense, secondary wise, man, has been struggling.
And that's what I was gonna say. Like the picks they're getting, and I get the whole thing tips and overthrows, but it's not no one jumping no ball. No one was jumping no passes. Guys were beat, flat out beat, and the receiver's dropping the ball, and the ball's bouncing in the air, and you get a tip pick. I get that. I mean, it's a pick, but. We saw Jarius Bird get paid $60 million for tip picks, and then he goes to New Orleans and hasn't had one yet.
Well, the bottom line is I'm not rooting against Dallas doing something, rookie QB. I just have my doubts. 50 years, I keep pointing it out, Maurice disagrees with this, is 50 years of evidence says no rookie QB has ever gotten to a Super Bowl, so why is Dak in a buck? But who's going to knock him out in the NFC?
Oh, there's only one. There's only one. No, there's only one team.
Detroit?
No, not even Tampa. There's only one team. I'm telling you.
Who?
Their kryptonite is the Giants. For some reason – the Giants play well against Dallas, in Dallas, at home. Odell Beckham has his day. And the Giants couldn't even run the ball. I mean, they were breaking off some runs late in the game, but it wasn't like anything to change it. The Giants weren't doing much of anything.
Hey, you want to talk about the defense? Since week 10, Tampa has the best defensive stats.
That also stuns me that that's
It's the same thing like you guys. Mike Smith was putting in his defense and trying to figure it out, and they were understanding he has the right pieces playing the right way. I mean, Keith Tandy is a guy you probably don't even know of, but he's ended the last two games. Just ended them. He ended San Diego, and he just ended New Orleans.
Is it 2-3 without Dougie? 6-1 with Dougie? Mm-hmm. Now, the stats are down when Doug Martin isn't play far as like passing wise, but your record goes up when he plays. And you got a defense who's coming along. And Jameis Winston, you know, Jameis Winston to me is like Eli. You catch a hot Jameis Winston.
Oh, you in trouble.
You in trouble.
That's a great comp. Yeah, well, those guys are similar.
You can catch a cold Jameis Winston too. And he's going to throw you a few picks.
Arizona caught a cold one.
Yeah. Sometimes in the same game, you'll see the cold and hot version of both those guys. Yeah, it's fascinating to think about what you just brought up there, the kryptonite stuff. In fact, we got a tweet earlier this week asking for us to go through what is every team's kryptonite. It is a funny thing.
Like
the Patriots' kryptonite does almost seem like the Ravens. At least the Ravens give them a game like we saw on Monday night as opposed to most teams.
Well, I mean, Oakland is Kansas City.
Right.
Kansas City's is Denver's. Denver's is Oakland. That's how the AFC West works. It's crazy. You can go to the South, Indianapolis. For some reason, they struggle with the Texans. They whoop everybody else, but they struggle with the Texans.
Right.
And then the Texans struggle with the Titans. It's weird. Like, certain teams, I guess, styles or just organizational issues. Like, you know, if people don't know this, the Titans used to be the Houston Oilers. Then they moved to Tennessee, so you have that band. Like, it's a lot going on.
I never thought about that, that there's some metaphysical force at work here. The football gods are doing their funny business.
That's how it is. When the team leaves, man, they usually still can own that city.
Micah Schneiderman sent us that question. We'll dig in deeper on that, I think, later in the week or maybe next week with Ike and Maurice. Meantime, though, we were talking about this in the Blue Room here at the NFL Media on Monday, and I wanted to revisit this. Harry Douglas hits Chris Harris Jr., Aqib Talib, goes back at him, all that. Let's see the play that started the whole kerfuffle down there. What do you think? Was Harry Douglas's hit a cheap shot on Chris Harris, Ike, as a DB? How say you?
Bro, what you doing? Yeah, I think that was cheap.
Because why? Because
the running player's on the other side. Now, if you running, see? Now, if the player's on my side and you cutting me, then cool, I need to get off the block. I got to start using my hands. I got to shed. But, bro, the running player's all the way over to the right. We're not even in the play. So why are you cutting me?
Does that happen a lot out there?
All the time.
Nah, well, for me, it only happened one guy. That was Dennis Northcutt, to be exact. And I had to put
only
him
one time.
I had to put him in line.
How do you do that?
You got to put him in line. Like, bro, we don't do that.
You just had a conversation.
Because usually, when you got good relationships, or even not even relationships, you just understand the game. I'm taking the receiver with me when the ball is coming. Hey, watch your feet. Watch your feet. Watch the pile. The pile coming. Let's go. He tapped me on my helmet. I tap him on his. That's how I go. But when the ball is all the way to the right side and you just trying to cut me for the no reason, especially if I haven't seen that on game tape and you put that on game tape because of me, oh, yeah, we got issues. Mm-hmm. We definitely got issues. Because I got a lot of opportunities to come at you. I could just come cut you whenever I want to.
That is what's dumb. Yeah, that is what's dumb for an offensive player to talk stuff because the defensive guy has a chance to hit you legally.
No, it's a chance to hit them. It's vice versa. I just think, look, I played for this particular coach, Mike Malarkey, and his biggest thing was that he wants you to take football out of the defense as an offense, right? So I get it, Harry Douglas. You know, I think he could have cut earlier when he was looking at Chris, when Chris Harris, they were looking at each other. But Chris Harris turned his head and he went at his knee. But I've seen him. They were going to bench Justin Blackmon in Jacksonville because he wouldn't block and block that way. That's what they teach you. Mm-hmm. It's to go up, fake the stalk, and then cut so you can get him down. Because, again, when you see Chris Harris, he did try to put his hands down. He just missed. And it was late. It was because he was looking another way. Dirty, I mean, granted, you don't want to take anyone's career. That's kind of what happened there. And I think it's on the line of being dirty or not, because I still have a big issue with corners when you're being held up by someone to come in and diving at your legs when you can't protect yourself. And I saw that against Atlanta, got a penalty for doing that against a receiver. So I think it's both ways. But for me, is if you're going to block them, block that way all the time, like Ike said. Make sure that's on tape so guys know going ahead. Don't just pull it out in this one game, because then it becomes personal.
Well, first of all, the thing that occurs, I mean, like, the Broncos never miss a chance to let everybody else know who's being dirty.
Run this play. Watch out, everybody chilling. Can we run that playback? Watch out, everybody chilling.
It's the timing of it that you're saying.
It's the timing all day.
Yeah.
Watch out, everybody just chilling. Really going back to the huddle.
The
play is damn near over. Look at this. Mm-hmm. Look at the guys fixing their jersey. Everybody waiting for the next play. He trying to go back. Chris Harris trying to go back to the huddle. Look, Ward over there. Look, everybody. Now, why are you going to do that?
Chris Harris is lucky that, I mean, his knee hyperextended. But, yeah, he could have really gotten messed up there.
You know what a track coach told me? Why guys tear ACLs? Because their heel is always in the ground. When your toes are in the ground, it gives you leverage. Hmm. So you're able to pop up. You're able to pop them like that. But when you're heel, when people run flat-footed from all the way heel to toe, you tear ACLs because you can't get a give with that.
Well, like I say, the Broncos who institutionalized cutting guys at their knees always on the spot to let you know, hey, league, this guy or that team's dirty.
They made them stop it, though.
I know, but it's ironic that they're the team that always polices the rest of the
NFL. But that was on the offensive side. Now, as far as like an offensive lineman cutting, They was known for that.
Yeah.
The Broncos was the best at it. Because we always talk about, man, why y'all get these small offensive linemen? But they very athletic, and they'll cut the hell out you. Mm-hmm. They'll cut the hell out you. But they stopped that now. They stopped that in the league. So, I get it. But on the perimeter side, man, it's a lot. We signed peace treaties on the perimeter side, man.
Well, as far as that goes, will Harry Douglas, Aqib Talib says, well, we have the same agent, so I know I'm going to run.
Are they going to see each other?
Will Harry Douglas call Aqib Talib and say, listen, I was playing, I was this, and Aqib Talib will be like, all right, I've cooled down. It's over.
Hey, don't get it twisted. Harry ain't backing down from nobody either. Mm-hmm. Talib ain't backing down, Harry ain't backing down. Because if you watch the squabble, it was a nice little squabble.
Harry
got squabble.
He was Harry 55%.
Got yeah.
He got 55% of that.
Yeah, ain't nobody backing down from just know it's an understanding. When I see you, it's on site. I don't care if you're with
your wife. It's going to be a misunderstanding.
If you're with your wife and your kids, tell them back up. No, don't tell them back up because these hands about to fly. That's how it's going to be between
I laugh two. Because I'm not Harry Douglas.
That's
so
what he
funny
said.
To me.
That's what he – I mean, when someone makes a statement like that, you as the other person in the altercation, you have to know, like, well, when I see you, I just – like, I have to try to do my thing, too.
Yeah.
Let's start the show. Yes, hi and hello, and welcome to the DDFP. As always, presented by McDonald's All Day Breakfast. Oh, I've got a hankering for an Egg McMuffin right
really?
Now.
Really?
Super. You're always hungry.
Well, that's true. But I really would like a hash brown in its own little paper sleeping bag. Really
the greasy one. Paper?
Oh, I love it. Oh, it's so tasty. All right.
It is.
We have much to get to here, as usual. Thrill of victory, agony of defeat. We'll talk best wins, worst losses. We have Ike's a scapegoat. Ike and Maurice have a couple of XOs to break down for us. Always informative, always entertaining. Also, like I mentioned, we're going to look at premature celebrations for teams that look like they're going to make the playoffs, but are they? We'll evaluate that with some fireworks on hand here. So stick around for that. Meantime, let's say hello. You see them on Monday nights. This was the real estate at NFL Network. After Monday Night Football, this was like, you know, who can we get to do this show? Because you have to stick around and all that. I know it's it's fun to sit around and talk about football, but it wasn't a show, the post game show that people were hankering to get on. All of a sudden, because of number 2-4 here, it is now something a lot of people are watching. Tune in; it's informative and super entertaining too. Here he is, Ike Taylor. Everyone,
thank you, Shaq. Remix. Got the remix.
Oh, it's the remix again. Too.
Bruh, I cannot dance whatsoever.
No, indeed. And if you watch us on NFL.com/DDFP and see that, you'll see visual evidence. In fact, you're not. Yeah, well, it's your silhouette. We have a video that plays
can't
with
dance.
That song.
Were you dancing in the green room or something?
Yeah. It's just good. To my own little head.
Hey,
to my own little beat going.
That thing was working.
Yeah, but it's terrific stuff. It's Reggie Wayne out there. Most nights it's Mike Robb on Monday nights. And Ike doing great stuff at
thank
NFL
you.
Now as well with Celebration Station, Fashion Popo, and all the rest. He does those latter two bits with the guy who toiled for the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Oakland Raiders. Like I say, he's now the voice on the radio of the Los Angeles Rams, and he's one of the big stars on the NFL Network show called Fantasy and Friends. Here he is, everybody, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Remix!
Straight out of Oakland, that's where he's born and grown. Drafted by the Jaguars, addicted to the end zone. Now he's on with Damashek, yeah, that's his new home. So call him Maurice, we all call him MJD.
MJD. Can I tell you something, Maurice?
Let me ask fire to it.
MJD, why you didn't come to Pittsburgh? You came for the visit.
I know.
But you didn't sign.
Because I told Mike T this. I had to go home. I was homesick. I'd been away for too long, man.
I thought for sure it was about to get.
Wait a second. Your last season could have been up there.
Oh, Coach T was like, oh, we about to get your boy. I said, who? MJD. I said, He said, I think we're going to get him.
I was close.
And but he signed with
I took less money to go to Oakland. I just had to go home. I was done.
That's nice.
I had my people there. Like my grandpa's brother was there. He wasn't doing so well, but he kind of turned around a little bit. So I was like, I get a chance to let him see me play one time because he didn't have DirecTV or nothing. So I was like, I'm going to go home, give him a two-year deal. It worked out being a one-year.
So I'm trying to think, what was the Steelers record? That was the year that you guys lost to the Ravens in January.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was your last game,
yeah.
Mike. So Maurice could have been
you know what?
That was the – you could
that's
have been –
That's the year D'Angelo,
you might,
that's
right.
the year D'Angelo got hurt.
Yep.
No, that's the year.
It was LeGarrette Blount.
Le'Veon Bell got hurt, and LeGarrette Blount was gone, and then the Steelers ended up signing.
Jordan Todman, and it was someone else there.
No, it was the guy who – was it Terrence? No, it wasn't Terrence West. It was Ben Tate. The Steelers, all of a sudden, they signed Ben Tate on a Tuesday, and then the first two touches of a playoff game go to Ben Tate. Yep. That was weird. That could have been Maurice Jones-Drew.
We wouldn't have got anybody else if we'd had MJD. It would have been MJD and Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
How about that, Maurice?
I know.
That's a shame.
Shaq had to go home.
We might all be wearing rings right now. Me, always, you, and I could all have an extra Super Bowl ring.
I don't know if you would have one, but
I get. I did.
I could have had one.
I have six.
I know. That's what Mike T told me too. When we went to the combine, he said he could have got you one. I said, you know what? In hindsight, you're right. You're probably right. But at that point in time, I was ready to go.
Wait, we have a piece of video, Bartlett. Oh, I thought we had a piece of video of Maurice in his Oakland days. We have to get back to that. I always like seeing the video of.
I only played like in one game, so let's not look at
that. Well, I also want to see the other thing we have. I mean, we got to do it. Is Ike and Maurice played each other in a playoff game in '07? We got to get some highlights of that so that we can chop it up between these two going head to head against each other. In the meantime, Football Baby continues his tour. It's gone well beyond Football America or the football planet. Now Football Baby just shows up all over the place. He's like Flat Stanley, but better. If you want to take him on your next visit to somewhere exciting, go ahead. Go to at Damashek on Twitter, and pinned at the top is Football Baby's picture. You can print out his image. He was in London again, Millwall Football Club. He was in Germany at a football game. He was at a Lions at another Germany game. In Munich, München, he went out to the Buffalo game. He saw Steelers victory.
When I start going across the world, I need to holler at Football Baby. Listen, so he can give me his connects.
Let me tell you something. What you don't know is that this DDFP show is huge in the UK.
No question.
Oh, yeah.
Someone literally – people were stopping me like, hey, you're from – you be on the Dave Demijay football program. I was like, yeah. He's like, Maurice, right? I'm like, yeah. It's like it wasn't just one person, too. Yeah, it was like 10 people.
And a lot of people – and the thing that's really funny is if you're a regular consumer of this show, Handsome Hank Hodgson is a legitimate celebrity over there. He's an Englishman, and people legitimately know
Straight
him.
Up.
Walked me from the bus to where I had to go, and people were stopping him.
Wonder who that man is with Handsome Hank there.
It was crazy.
He looks like a Straight footballer.
Up. People for the Rams were like, who is this guy? I'm like, it's Handsome Hank, man. You don't know him like that.
Yes, his passport is filling up with stamps from across the globe. Let's get to it, fellas. Thrill of victory, agony of defeat, week 14.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Let's start off
that
with...
That beard was horrible I had.
You know
man,
what?
I just
looked at it. I was like, it was so bottom-filled.
Well, you look much younger. That's
he looked
sure
young with his
it.
Face, yeah.
The other Super thing, can young. I tell you, this will sound, I don't know what, but really, you started working out just 2 weeks ago. You can already
see.
When
it.
I see that, I can actually see that
it's
you're,
crazy,
you've lost some weight already.
You got to get after it. 6 o'clock in the morning. Come meet me there, Shaq.
It's not about that. When I was in my 20s and I would work out, I could lose like 15 pounds in 3 weeks. Now it takes 3 months before you even lose a pound.
Because you
it's
just
very
can't
discouraging.
Eat everything on the table.
I can eat what I want.
You got to do it in
that's,
portions.
That's the thing. I slowed down the eating, the amount. I've shrunk the amount. And then I've also taken my time just trying to be as healthy as I can. Like every now and then I'll get some fries
right.
or something, but
all right.
it's just every now and
thanks
then.
Thanks for the
Talk
tips. Thanks for the tips. When I need
that's
my
the agony of defeat right there for Shaq.
When I need my mother, I'll call Pittsburgh. In the meantime, let's talk about best wins here. There were many. And in December, if you're even close to the playoffs, if you win, it's a significant victory. So there are a lot of different ways we can go. I'll start off with Thursday night. That Chiefs win against the Raiders, like you say, Maurice, they do seem to have Oakland's number. That's bad news for Oakland come January, even if they do get home field right now. The Chiefs have the inside track to getting maybe even a bye, and the Raiders will have to go on the road 3 times to even get to the Super Bowl. They were looking bright. It's a reminder, the NFL season – is longer than you seem to, than people seem to recognize. Yeah. I mean, on the Sheck Report this week, I go over a few examples of it. Remember when Carson Wentz was gangbusters and the Eagles were going to the Super Bowl? Remember that? Remember when the Broncos were undefeated and they were going to the second straight with Trevor Siemian? And when Odell Beckham was a distraction to the Giants and he should be traded? And Aaron Rodgers was all used up and he was just mediocre? Season's long, everybody.
Yeah.
Nothing's guaranteed for the Raiders or anybody else. Right. I think that Chiefs win was great. Tyreek Hill continues to emerge, and the defense is mighty. I can't remember. Is it you who disagrees, Ike? I think the Chiefs are maybe the best team in the AFC.
Complete team. Yes, complete. But don't forget now, Alex Smith. I know MJD like Alex Smith.
Love it.
But Alex Smith, man, is he on a short leash. There's only so much he can do. He's a timing, he's a rhythm quarterback. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the ball needs to be out. So once 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ain't working, because now he got the pieces. Macklin is coming back. Mm-hmm. Kelce is a Pro Bowler forever. Then you got Tyreek Hill, he's doing this thing. And for some reason, man, they don't put up the points on offense.
And Spencer Ware, they have enough.
They don't put up the points on offense.
Complete, I hear you, but you know who else didn't? The San Francisco 49ers
complete
a few
team.
Years. 2011, Smith got that team to a Super Bowl, basically. If Kyle Williams hadn't fumbled twice against the Giants, that team would have been
Bucky Brooks. Truck or trailer? Alex Smith.
Fair enough.
There's not a lot of trucks at quarterback, though.
True. And that's what I'm saying about him, Matt Ryan. I'm saying about a lot of these quarterbacks.
I think the biggest thing with Alex Smith is, and he doesn't turn the ball over. So at the end of the day, because you've played football with a quarterback who will make the big throw, but also he'll turn the ball over. And you guys had a defense that understood that. Their defense understands, look, if we hold them to whatever, 3 points is okay, right? Because we know our guy's going to lease. He's great between the 20s. That's what people feel to realize. Alex Smith moves up and down the field all the time. Doesn't turn the ball over. When he gets in the red zone, he has to throw those tight windows. He struggles a little bit. But as long as you don't turn the ball over, especially in the playoffs, you get those complete drives where you can get points or you kick after, even if it's a punt. You don't just give that momentum back. That's what the Chiefs have to do. Now, the only their kryptonite, really, when you get to the playoffs is New England, because you can't play zone against Tom Brady and expect Tom Brady to not pick you apart. And that's where they mess up. Now, New England's kryptonite is Denver, who is a horrible offense, but their defense is able to score and do other things. So I just think it's all matchups when you get to the playoffs for these guys. If they match up well, if they run into, so let's say, Oakland, and Oakland doesn't take advantage of those opportunities that they missed on Thursday, the Chiefs have a great chance running into.
Yeah, I'm now really intrigued by how the seedings are starting to work out in the AFC. If KC can avoid the Patriots, you know, until at least the title game, but there's a decent chance that the Patriots, they're not a flawless team. So they might get Baltimore, Pittsburgh coming up to Foxborough.
Yep.
They might, you know, they're the Raiders might go up to Foxborough. That's bad matchup for the Patriots, but I can see them shooting it out.
But
with
think
the Patriots
about, let's say if the first wild card game is Pittsburgh, Oakland, that's going to be a tough game for both guys, sides, mm-hmm. right? You're talking about, or it could be, Who's other team? Tennessee or Houston, somebody?
I mean, here's how it looks right now. So I obviously am pretty familiar with this. I've been going over it quite a bit in the last couple of days. So the Dolphins, if they were to win out, they're in the playoffs. If they go 2-1, they're in great shape. They will get one of the wild cards over Pittsburgh or Baltimore or the Broncos. Because of the tie, they have the head-to-head against Pittsburgh. So if they go 2-1, now it's Matt Moore. They have to go at the Jets, at Buffalo, then New England. So you assume that they're going to lose the Patriots.
What
game.
If Buffalo goes wins out?
They won't have enough. Pretty unrealistic that there's a path there for them. But if the Dolphins can do it, if they can beat either at the Jets or if they can win at the Jets and at Buffalo, they probably and improbably have the inside track over Pittsburgh. But if the Steelers win out, they win the division. That Baltimore-Pittsburgh game on the 25th of December will decide the division in all likelihood. But if the Steelers lose to Cincy and beat Baltimore – wait. If they beat Cincy, lose to Baltimore, and then beat Cleveland, the Steelers I'm talking about, and the Dolphins go 2-1, the Dolphins get in over Pittsburgh. But if the Steelers – yeah, anyway, so I'm trying to make sense of it for you.
There's
still an outside chance that one of those South teams – it's not – a given that the Titans or Texans won't make the playoffs even if they don't win the division. It's still kind of up in the air. The team that's probably on the outside looking in because of the tiebreakers are the Broncos, unless they go 3-0 here, and that seems unlikely because they go Patriots at KC, Oakland to finish up. So they're not going to go 3-0.
That's real, man.
If they go 2-1 and get to 10-6, that's probably not going to be good enough for them based on the tiebreakers with the Dolphins and Pittsburgh and Baltimore. All right. I also like the Packers' victory. That was a dominant one. That should disprove and quiet everybody who was talking nonsense 6 weeks ago about Aaron Rodgers. Enough. I don't want to hear it ever again about Aaron Rodgers.
So Russell Wilson threw 5 picks, right?
I know, but it's Aaron Rodgers.
So, Duggan,
is dynamite.
So Baldwin had 2 tips.
Oh, hit him right in the hands.
Then the running back wound up tipping it, and it hit another Packer in the hands. So for real, Russell threw 2 for sure. He threw 2 picks for sure. I don't like the Packers like that. And I know we're talking about AR-12. I get it. But I don't like the Packers like that.
I don't think they're an especially dangerous team come January.
But they have to win out too. You still got Detroit that you have to beat, who for some reason Detroit is just – they just like to just hang on.
Well, Detroit goes at they go at Dallas, at the Giants, or maybe the other way around. They go at Giants, at Dallas, and then they finish up with Green Bay. Is there any chance that they
can beat Tottenham 3 teams though?
I think they can beat all three.
If they drop a game, if they lose one of these next two, let's say they lose at Dallas and Green Bay wins its next two, the division comes down to that game in Detroit.
I can see for sure Detroit beating Dallas. For sure.
Worst loss is the Saints losing to the Bucs was pretty crummy there. And the Rams, literally, it cost the head coach's job. I was thinking that watching that game, this is ugly enough that they might not, Fisher may not survive this game. And so I was right on Monday. That gives me no pleasure to say. Maurice, you're working with the Rams all week. Ike, it's time for your scapegoat. And go ahead.
It's crazy. Producer Ryan Bartlett, he texted me, "Hey Ike, what's your scapegoat?" And this is before the young man got fired. Wind up being Coach Fisher. So, and the reason why I said Coach Fisher, man, it's tough. I don't think the guys are responding to Coach Fisher. When you have a player's coach, which is good to have a player's coach, it's good for the players.
Great.
But then sometimes they don't play for you. And to look at a head coach, I look at the head coach not being my brother, but my dad. So it's a different kind of feel when dad comes in the room than when your brother come in the room. It's a different kind of discipline when dad comes in the room, when brother comes in the room. They look at Coach Fish like being a big brother. So now they got a young team. They don't need a big brother. They need a disciplinarian. So I think this time they're going to get a disciplinarian.
They're going to get what they don't want.
As much as we want to talk about Coach Tom Coughlin, I think he will fit.
You took the words out of my mouth.
Perfect.
I said that on Monday.
Situation.
I said Jim Harbaugh, if he'd be willing to walk away from Michigan, the kind of splashy thing that would make some sense.
We don't need splash. We're trying to win ball games.
I hear you.
And if you just listen,
I want people to understand this too, just real quick. This isn't St. Louis's media market, and that's what the Rams didn't realize coming into this thing. That Eric Dickerson spat got blown way out of proportion to what it should have been. Because, again, you're in a different market size. In St. Louis, you could bark and do all you want. It's not going to reach outside of St. Louis. But here in Los Angeles, that thing went through every major news media market, on every channel, everything about Eric Dickerson and the Rams. And so when you have that type of market, I talked to some of the players. I'm like, what's the difference? And a lot of them said the nightlife, all that, you know, outside. Yeah, that's different. But they said in the locker room, when you're used to having 5 or 6 people in there that you see all the time, there's 60. Now it's not only just sports teams, ET, entertainment news is in there, and Hollywood, all these different stations that you're not used to seeing are in there because you're in a totally different market. So I told people, and I think we talked about this before, I said 7-9 would be a great season.
You did say that in advance, yep.
Because there's too much distraction going on. And so what happens here in this game, you know, they got a lot of things going on. You had a young guy who hasn't returned a kick all year returning kicks. Now, he's your best gunner. He's one of your best blockers on kickoff return. But because Benny Cunningham goes down, you put him back to return a kick. First kick, he returns in the game. He fumbles at the 3-yard line. The Falcons score.
Why don't they have Tavon Austin? They're paying him all that money. He's not doing nearly enough to earn that loot. At least throw him on special team. Make him your kick return.
My thing is you get a dad kind of coach. And a dad kind of coach is Coach Tom Coughlin. Because mm-hmm. he had to weave some of his ways. Like, he was being stern on a young team, yeah. and they was rebelling against him. Like, Coach, you tripping. So he had to simmer it down, too. I think now, since he learned from that in his later years with the Giants, would fit perfect with the
I agree
Rams.
With that. What about – I just want to throw a couple of names at you real fast. Josh McDaniels, you're hearing. Kyle Shanahan, though.
I can see Kyle Shanahan because that's who that's what they just saw.
Right.
You just saw someone put 42 on you. And he was a big
ooh,
part.
Ooh, he's good. Let's get one of those. Yeah, like
yeah,
that
like,
kind of.
Like, oh, his offense looked real good. And I get it that they're going to, you know, they're going to say everything the right way. And you know, we're going to do a whole search and we're going to search from within. And we're at the end of the day, this team, the staff has been together for 5-6 years. They're not going to go within. They're going to find
here's
somebody on the
do.
Outside
you
know, and try to
here's what you do.
Else.
You steal Pete Carroll from Seattle.
He
likes
what,
LA.
That's what I heard. They want to do that.
I think that would make sense. He's a defensive coach. How about this one?
You go get Coach Tom.
I like that one, too. The one other one is because his name's always out there with these vacancies. What about John Gruden? And he, well, how about that? Is
let
he
I'm going to tell you why John Gruden.
Also, how about Bill Cowher? What about Bill Cowher?
Talk to Coach Cowher, too.
Listen, they make it
it's
too
easy.
Much money.
Too much.
And it's
for
too
two
easy.
Little days.
Yeah.
Yeah, them boys working 40 days out of the year. I'm not doing that.
And making them just as much as some of these
well,
coaches.
I agree with that, no but question. I don't have that competitive fire that they do. So
they don't
have,
no question.
You lose a competitive fire when you're making just as much as these coaches and have to work.
So you mean to tell me I'm making what I made as a coach and all I got to do is 40 days?
And I'm never wrong.
All right. Well, let's move on then. Speaking of fire, have
John Gruden makes $7 million a year. You think –
I don't know, but I'm always surprised that anybody would ever leave the comfort of a broadcast
booth. Just hit us with it. Seven a year.
$7 million a year.
You think
am I leaving?
No, but I don't understand why anybody would ever leave that gig to go back to coaching. Why did Dick Vermeil do it? That seems crazy to me,
he probably
too.
Wasn't making that amount of money.
That's
like
true.
That's a lot of money.
$7 million. I'm checked.
For Mondays?
Just to come on a Monday and talk and talk good about everybody? Blame the wrong people? Mm-hmm. Why not?
All right, let's get to it. Some fireworks here. It's time for premature celebration. There's some teams out there that look like they're headed to the playoffs, but is it merely an illusion, or can we, in fact, set off the fireworks? Let's start off with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, we're going to do – we have an intro. That was premature.
Oh, yeah, you let that premature. Loose. You let it loose.
All right, let's premature. I just wanted to see what it was.
Premature celebration.
Goff will hand off to Gurley, who scores, and the Rams finally get points. And here is the quarterback getting in for the touchdown. Jared Goff, and he paid the price a little bit as he gets the touchdown. Second of the game for the Rams. Matt Schaub being rushed. And gets the pass out to Patrick DeMarco. It's deflected, and it's going to be an incompleted pass. So the crowd could say, well, we got another touchdown, Aaron Donald. But no, it was incomplete is the ruling. Set the fireworks off anyway. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem.
Three times on Sunday, the Rams set off fireworks.
I'm going to tell you why.
Prematurely celebrate.
I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
Because they somebody's getting paid to do it. And you got to do your job. Every time they score, you let it off.
But it proved to be premature.
On one of them.
Well, all three of them, I think. I don't think any of those counted those
fireworks.
They
all counted.
That brings us to these playoff teams that are in contention, it would seem. But is it an illusion, or can we, in fact, fire off these fireworks for them because they will be playing after New Year's Day? Let's start off with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. They are sitting at 8-5. They are in first place in the AFC North, and yet they go at Cincy, then the Ravens, then the Browns. Maurice is already – talk about premature.
Let it go.
Man, you
let
fired that thing fast.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't worried about it. You know, Cincinnati – you know, the best part when you play your division the last three games, you know those guys. So there's not a lot of game plan going into it. We know where they're going to be. They know where we're going to be. Our players have to go out – you guys have, and when I say you guys, you all, the Pittsburgh Steelers fans, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh Steelers, have something to play for. That whole revenge, you know, let's spoil their season. That doesn't work in the league. That
it doesn't, huh?
No, it doesn't.
So it's the Bengals, so Marv Lewis in front of this Steelers game isn't saying, listen, fellas, the season hasn't gone the way we wanted, but you'll remember in this calendar year, back in January, they came into our house and they embarrassed
only
us,
time,
and that was ugly. Let's make this right.
Well, all that can be sound good until as long as A.J. Green ain't out there, then there ain't going to be no issue.
Mm-hmm. And there you have it.
Simple as that.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm rocking with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You're going to do it? All right, I'll fire it because I don't want to be.
I'm rocking with the Pittsburgh Steelers all day.
I don't want to be.
Oh, there you go.
Boom, bing, boom, boom.
All right, I don't want to, you know, be a jerk about the Steelers' chances. I will say.
You're so nervous.
I am nervous.
Yeah, you always do that.
Here's the thing. They must beat either Cincy or Baltimore, and I think they go to the playoffs.
They're going 11-5. Pittsburgh going 11-5.
You know who said 11-5 back in August?
But
Dave Dameshek.
But you didn't call those losses, though.
I listened to what I said, though, Maurice. I said 11-5. And if they go 11-5, that will be five straight years where I have correctly predicted what the Steelers are going to do.
Well, the way you're talking, you don't know for sure if they're going.
I don't know. You're right, I don't know. But I'm saying if they go 2-1 here the rest of the way, that should be good enough because I don't know that Matt Moore's Dolphins can win two out of their last three. That would be enough to put Pittsburgh into the playoffs, even as a wild card if it comes to that. Let's move on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Already, Maurice, you're shooting the fireworks off. You don't even have to wait.
They go,
well, let's take a look. This is a great story, what they're doing. They started out, they were 1-3. Now, all of a sudden, they're 8-5 with some legit victories. It's not like they've run off all these wins against bum teams. They are playing well, but now they go at Dallas. Then they go into New Orleans. That's a tough spot for anybody. And then they finish off with Carolina. Ike, how do you think they finish up here? What's their record?
They can win it all.
Win the division.
They can win all three of them games. They can win all three of them games.
Are you guys legitimately thinking the Buccaneers are going to go down to Dallas?
They can win all three of those games. The defense finally coming along. Defense. We've been riding Jameis Winston back for the majority of the season.
Yeah.
Now the defense coming along, and Dougie's back. Mm-hmm. You get Dougie back, then you're really cooking. Mike Evans, man, now they're working Mike in the slot. So once you start working Mike in the slot, it's like, okay, that's the ultimate mismatch. And when you get a hot Jameis Winston, a hot. If Jameis Winston can stay hot and not throw the ball and create turnovers, they're going to win these ball games. Because think of the games they won that you thought they was going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Key games.
I agree. Listen, they've been a lot of fun to watch, and Jameis's progress in year two is terrific. I'm not surprised by that. I will be a bummer here and put down the firework. I don't think they're going to the playoffs. I think the Falcons are going to end up winning the division. I think they're going to lose in Dallas.
They got a better defense.
And that's going to be a problem.
Who does Atlanta play the next three games?
Can we look that up, who the Falcons finish up
because
with here? But I have looked it up. I can't.
I feel like you're seeing Dak struggle a little bit as of late. He's starting to struggle. And I think as a whole, that offense is starting to, you know, they've leaned too much on Zeke. And now teams are like, look, we're going to stop the run or force you in these third and mm-hmm. longs and make you throw these tight covers. And they're struggling a little bit. That's what Tampa does well.
All right, but let me
– offensively,
I hear, okay.
They're way more explosive than the Giants are offensively.
And
way more explosive.
I hear you on all that stuff. And the concern for Dallas is we talk about that the NFL season is long and everybody's kissed the Cowboys into the number one seed and they're going to end up holding on and getting that.
No, they can lose out.
Yeah.
They can lose. Hey, you got to start being open minded.
And then they host Detroit. They could lose that one. That's conceivable.
Yeah, what the Giants did was put a blueprint. Now you got to have the personnel to do what Giants did, but we're blitzing. Dak, you got to read on site right now. But
man,
we're blitzing up the middle, and you're going to see. So instead of going for that hot read, see this, and I wanted Dallas to lose this game, and we talked about it on Game Day Blitz. There was like, how you feel about that? I hope they lose. Why? Because it's going to be a playoff kind of atmosphere. Now they have to tweak their offense. So instead of lying heavily on Ezekiel, on them third and sixes and them third and eights, they're going to blitz the heck. So now as an offensive coordinator, okay, that's playoff football. This is what they're going to do to Dak. Okay, now we got to shorten up Beasley. Now we got to shorten up Whitney in these routes. Hey, Dez, you're going to be my hot now. So instead of running deep or curls, I need you to run these slants. Now, it's good when you lose sometimes this late because you'd rather lose now and figure it out and going into the playoffs and knowing this is what you're going to get than to just lose in the playoffs and be like, dang, I wish. So that was a playoff game. That was a playoff game. And let's not forget, the Dallas Cowboys defense played a great game. Them boys only had 13 points. Mm-hmm. Only 13 points. Now, we've been talking about the offense the whole season. We got to give the defense props.
I agree with all of that. But let's say that, you know, and Garrett and Jerry Jones and everybody else has said, no, Dak's our guy. But then again, they also said, no, when Romo's healthy, he'll reclaim the position. I know hot take and all that stuff. But let's say that Tampa does do this and Tampa wins this weekend down there and Dak doesn't have a great game. That would be three games in a row. They struggled offensively against
Maryland. Very good defense.
I know, but so would there be any consideration when your record is what it is?
We weren't saying that with AR.
No, you don't say that.
Well, AR was when he wasn't playing.
Dak's a rookie and you have a borderline Hall of Famer behind
that. So Tony Romo ain't played in 2 years.
I know, I'm just throwing it out. I'm asking.
Oh, is he a truck or a trailer?
Tony Romo's a trailer.
Oh, no, he's a truck.
No, he's not.
Stop it.
Tony Romo's not a truck.
What has he won to be the truck?
Please.
They haven't been to the playoffs.
Stats all day.
He's put up he's
a stat guy.
He's turned some decent some bad teams into halfway decent.
Man, them boys had the same recipe with DeMarco Murray when DeMarco Murray went crazy and Tony Romo had his best year in 2014. They still ain't go 11-2.
Ooh, I mean, I thought I was down on Romo. All right, so they got to stay with that. What is the Falcons? What are their last three games there, Bartlett?
All right, so Falcons have they got the 49ers at home,
okay. Win.
Panthers on the road,
okay,
and then Saints at home.
Okay, so they're 2-1 at worst. That's why I got the Falcons over the Bucks.
I can't don't
because they'll be 10. They'll be at worst defense, 10-6 out of that.
Their defense ain't like that.
I'm sorry, listen. Vic Beasley, I get it. He has, 12, 13 sacks now?
He balling.
But he's rushing on the right tackle, and he's played some bad right tackles. When you play the Saints, just understand that their right tackle is very good. When you play some of these teams, that they're going to have the Panthers. The Panthers are getting on a roll.
They may win
ugly, but they're winning. Mm-hmm. And they're figuring out – and I'm trying to tell people, if Tampa loses out and then Carolina finds a way to get in this thing – it's going to be scary.
I agree with you. That one up in Oakland, boy, if they would have won that one.
Oh, if they'd have won that one, it'd have been a wrap.
Panthers would be shaking in their boots. The Bucks and the Falcons
and
would be
shaking
in their
boots. And let's not forget, I know Matt Ryan played well out here, but he threw some passes that should have been taken to the other way.
Correct.
Like, I mean, Matt Ryan is going to be Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. He's going to play well, but there's going to come a point in time in the game where he panics. And Julio, I don't know if Julio's going to be back or not. I mean, you got to remember that. He has turf toe. Who'd that end?
Yeah, Prime. Yeah, Uncle Prime.
One of the greatest.
Jack Lambert.
Yeah.
It's a weird injury to end. Maurice Jones-Drew.
You can't bend that big toe. It's like taking away your thumb.
Yeah.
You take away your thumb, then what? It's hard to grip.
Yeah.
You take away that big toe, man. That big toe hurt.
All right, let's do this one real quick to wrap up today's show. Fireworks, premature or otherwise. The Detroit Lions. Who's going to fire off some fire?
I'm letting them all go.
Well, Maurice, you're putting everybody in the playoffs.
Listen, right. Let it go.
I'm going to put the Lions into the playoffs as well here. They do have a tough road, though.
Don't matter.
At the Giants, at the Cowboys, and then the Packers.
Don't matter.
If they win one more and get to 10-6, though, that's going to be good enough, too. The one that's big, though, is if they can go into New York this weekend and take down the Giants, that has the double whammy effect of knocking the Giants down and securing the wild card edge over the Giants, who's a chief rival there. But either way, I think they're going to have enough with 10 wins to get a wild
card. How many games have they won in a row? It's like 7.
Is that right?
How many games have they won in a row, guys? Detroit Lions.
I want to say it's like 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. And I could know this, and I've been a part of it once or twice, but when you get on that run and you start winning games – it's hard to lose them. I mean, Matt Stafford threw a pick six against the Bears with like 5-6 minutes left and drove right down the field and scored. Like, you just start to believe.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because we talked about that with Ike a few weeks ago, and Cynthia Freeland, Advanced Analytics, said, well, you eventually regress to the mean. You can't always win tight games. You eventually lose some of those. And I pushed back and I said, yeah, but they're human beings. It's not a math equation.
It's not a machine.
That's the character.
Five in a row. They've won five in a row.
That's the character of this team. They don't look at adversity. Bring it to me. How many seconds we got left? We got a minute 37. We down by 6. Bring it to me.
I talked to Rondé Barber, and he called the game against the Saints. And they said that game should have been a blowout. You talking about New Orleans after they came out and put up 49 on the Rams, and you come back and the Detroit went in there and whooped them. They said that if it wasn't for some stumbles along the way for the Detroit Lions. They would have put up 40 on them.
Yeah, I watched that whole game, and yeah, Lions dominated it
to start to finish.
And
that's what they've been doing. They've been dominating games.
This is what I do like about Stafford. He's starting to run the ball.
Yeah, that's right.
He's starting to run the ball. He's starting to use his legs. And that's what I was saying about Dak. Like, now Dak, he can start using his legs. So when you start using your legs, instead of going back and keep flipping around in the pocket, when you step up and go east to west in the pocket, now you put that on tape. So what the defense coordinators do?
We got to get a spy.
So when you get a spy, you got to take a guy out of coverage.
Or out of the rush.
So when you get a guy out of the rush or coverage, now it's clear. Everything's open. Now, Dak can do it. He hasn't done it yet. As soon as he figured that out, Russell Wilson do it all. He's been making money like this all the time. You know what? I won't run today. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to drop nobody open. I'm going to start to run. God, dog, and now I got to put a spy.
That's
got
to be the most crushing thing to a defense. Yeah. When 30, you do everything 38. Right and the play, oh, we got it. We got everybody covered up. I ran and got it anyway.
Aaron Rodgers. This year is probably the most he's ever ran.
Yep. You know what? He's to me, one of the most underrated functional scramblers, like Russell Wilson. He's not a guy who's taken off like Mike Vick necessarily. But when you know, third and eight, everything
Alex
else.
Smith.
Oh, there you go. Oh, he picked up the first down again.
We were talking about Alex Smith. That's what he does. Remember, he will run the ball. And I want to say last year they were playing the Lions in Detroit, and he had like a 60-yard run. But he runs a 4 or 5. He's very fast.
Right.
But you don't know that until you get out there and you see him strike off on you. You think, like, oh, I'm going to get him, then he turns the corner, it's a wrap.
All right, speaking of a wrap, that's a wrap on a celebratory show. Always festive in here with Ike and Maurice. Thanks, fellas. Great stuff from you. Great stuff from everybody behind the glass. Bartlett, Lara, Emma VP, and the professor. All right, I'll say it. It's a terrible nickname. And who else? Oh, and Emily's back there. I can't see who's behind the professor. All right, we'll kibitz with you later in the week. In the meantime, thanks so much. Thin slice of – no, see, you jumped the gun on that. Talk about premature. No, now you exited the show prematurely, and now you have to pay. Play it again. There we go. All right. Maurice Jones-Drew is on Fantasy and Friends on the Rams radio broadcast, Fashion Popo, Celebration Station, no disrespect. Ike on a lot of those things too. Game Day Blitz, Total Access – we got to do it again now. You jumped the gun. Well, that was on me. That one's on me. Just one more time. Let me wrap it up here. All right. So we'll be back later in the week with our Red Challenge flag picks. Make sure you watch NFL Pick'em with Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, around the NFL, and Move the Sticks on Saturday. In the meantime, it's been a thin slice of heaven.